anybody surprised to see me here today? You really don't know how many people, a number of people were asking, like Pastor John, who was out front during the first service, and they're coming in going like, so who's going to be speaking today? Because this is the very first opening weekend that I've ever been at Fox River, since Fox River began. In fact, it's the only opening weekend I can remember being in church since I can remember right now. So, to which you might be going like, so why are you here? When we were planning this particular series, you know, last week and this week, and putting these together, and I just kind of envisioned what it was that God wanted to, you know, do, what God could be doing, I was saying, you know, to the whole team that was there, I'm going like, hey, do you think that, like, maybe I should be here for that second week? And they looked at me and said, it's okay, we got it covered. And I know that they would have, and so I came around and said, well, you know, I'd really kind of like to be here for this week. You can only imagine how this conversation was going, you know, because they know, like, you know, what an enthusiast I am anyways. And they're like, no, it's okay, we're going to be here. And I'm just kind of like, I want to be, you know. I do need to give a shout out, though, for all those hunters that are watching online after the fact, my comrades there. My prayers have been with you, and for a safe hunt, for a good hunt, so I hope it's a year to remember that way. But here's what we want to talk about this year. The reason that I so wanted to be here for this particular weekend is because there is a way that we can position ourselves. You could say position ourselves for success, particularly spiritual success. And spiritual success has a way of either amplifying or minimizing any other success in our life. That's actually worth remembering there. You could tweak that if you want. There's a way that I can position myself for God's blessing, for God's working in and through me in my life. And that's the focus of our talk today. It kind of brings us back to that which I know a number of us have chosen to hang around our neck today. How many have an I will tag with you? Can you kind of, let me just see those out there. It's, I know, blinding with all the bling that's here. I thought, if you're a guest walking in today and you see everybody wearing one of these things, you're thinking, what kind of cult have I walked into today? Like, is this like a secret key or something that's going to get you into something or anything like that? And disappointingly, no, it's not. It's just, it's a tactile reminder for us of that which we hope is going to be reality for us in our lives. If you have a Bible today, would you take it right now and turn with me to Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. You didn't bring a Bible with you. If you can grab a pew Bible somewhere nearby. Page number 1761. Key passage. I think you're going to discover it to be, in every sense of that, not just transitionary today, but something that is an especially meaningful verse. You know, a verse that is supercharged, as it were, with potential power, with challenge that comes to us. We're going to put this up on the screen so we can all read that together, but having it open in front of you is also going to be very helpful, so, you know, just don't close it when you see it up on the screen there, and I'll tell you why in just a second. So read this with me. Everybody, ready? Therefore, stop right there, okay? That's a very important word we got right there. I mean, very first, like, oh, wait, there's an alert right there. So we don't want to miss that or skip over it. So everybody, we want to say that together. Ready, everybody? Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Now, that's pretty significant. And as you're looking at that verse, a couple things, you know, like pop out to you, right? You know, one, God says, I want you to offer yourself a living sacrifice. Like, yow, right? I mean, that's like, really? A living sacrifice? True. Because if you ask, does God want dead sacrifices today? The answer is going to be what? No, God didn't want a dead sacrifice. There was a purpose for that in the Old Testament. He goes like, that is just so off my radar right now. I'm looking for a living sacrifice. And the end of doing so, he goes, really, this is what true, this is what real worship is going to come back to. It's going to emanate from that way. So there's a lot that Romans chapter 12 has for us here. What I'd like to do is just give you four notations from the verse, which lays a pretty good foundation for us that way. even before we get into this, or as we get into the first one, Romans chapter 1 through 11 is all about, and I'm going to call this vertical grace. That is grace that is being poured down into us. If you want to call it, it's grace to us. Let me give you a couple examples of that. Romans 1 says it's the goodness or the kindnesses of God that bring you to repentance. Romans 5 says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what the Lord Jesus has done for us. Realize it's this vertical grace poured into you. New relationship with God, peace with God that way. Romans chapter 8 takes us a little different direction. It says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And at this point, you just stop and you do this. You just feel that side. There's no condemnation. And you're going like, yeah, but you don't know what I got in my past. And it's like, no condemnation. If you're in Christ Jesus, when you stand before God, there is no condemnation that will be brought forth to you. And it goes on then. And because you belong to Him, the power of a life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Feel that? It's this vertical grace that's coming down into our lives. It's this grace to us. But you know Romans 12:1 is transitioning. It's like, here's all this vertical grace. First 11 chapters is all about vertical grace. But Romans 12, verse number 1, what's the first word of it? It's therefore. Now, that is transitionary word, right? Therefore is going to take us in a different direction. In fact, you've heard me say before, anytime you come in the Bible to the word therefore, you want to ask yourself, what's the therefore? In other words, what is changing? Based on 1 through 11, all of a sudden now we're going to go a different direction, literally here. And we're going to go in chapters 12 through 16, if you want to finish your notes out that way. 12 through 16 is going to be primarily about horizontal grace. That is grace that is through us, in our lives. Grace that other people are seeing. Vertical grace, you don't see that. It's not that observation. I mean, the person that's receiving it, you know what that's like. But in horizontal grace, that's what the world sees. That's what your family sees. That's what those that work around you, they see it that way. And here's what Romans 12, verse number 1 does. Anybody know what this is? This is called an elbow, not to be confused with an elbow, right? I mean, but this is an elbow, a plumbing elbow. Do you know the purpose of an elbow? Yeah, exactly. It's a redirection. It's going to change directions. So in Romans chapter 1 through 11, what kind of grace do we have? Yeah, you get vertical grace. This is grace of God coming down into you. Where in Romans chapter 12, we've got what kind of grace? 12 through 16? Horizontal. You got horizontal. It's grace that wants to flow through us this way. And if you don't have an elbow, this isn't going to happen, is it? Now, for some, you're like, that didn't bother me. Because as long as I got it coming down into me, that's all I care about. Because basically, it's all about me, right? I mean, and that's what we feel a lot of times. As long as I got grace flowing into life, pouring into me, even if I don't have this, I'm okay, it's okay, maybe not as good as it could be, but still, it's pretty okay, right? Just nod your heads, because it's like, I know you. Yeah, it's like, yeah, I could buy into that. Here's the problem. When you have grace that comes into you and doesn't go out, doesn't go through you, that grace quickly becomes stagnant. It's not like you get all this fresh grace that continues to go in and moves everything around. But grace that's come in and do nothing with stagnates, just like a stagnant pond becomes. That's why, boy, I feel like this is power up here. You're swinging both of these things. That's why for us, Christianity can get boring. It's meaningless. It's powerless. It's like, yeah, I'm glad I did that back then, and it's going to be good when someday I got to get to heaven. I mean, I got that part covered. But basically, that's all you got. Because you had this vertical grace that came in. There was nothing else that moved from it. It never became horizontal grace, and it just stagnated, and that's where I sit today. Because this was not in place. Now, I think it would be good for us to identify this, so we can do that now. Let's write on this. Shall I put on this I will, or should I put Romans 12:1? Okay, I'll put I will then, for those of you who are not into the Bible. I'm going to put both, just to be on the safe side here. But I'm putting Romans 12:1 first. You know, O Lord. And then we'll put I will on here too. So we've got, there's our elbow that's marked that way. So when you take the, what kind of grace? Vertical grace, grace coming into me. And you put on it Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, I'm going to present myself. I'm going to say yes to God. I'm going to say I will to God. Now, I have just constructed this dynamic in my life. Do I still have grace flowing in me? Yes, I do. But now I've got this horizontal grace. And you want to read what does horizontal grace look like? You read chapters 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. You're going like, okay, I know what that's talking about now. That is some powerful stuff. That's some life-changing stuff. And we know that as grace flows horizontally, as grace flows this way, then there's fresh grace that continues to flow into us that way. This is a dynamic that every one of us want to be experiencing in life and can if we get this in place. You with me? Good. Okay. Second observation. What would motivate me to do so? Why would I in my life want to say, God, I want to present myself to you. I want to give you control. I want to say, I will. I will say yes to you, whatever it is that you're going to ask me to do. Jesus, I'm going to follow you. Why would I do that? Now, you know the answer. It's in the Bible right there. It's in verse number 1. So just look at that again. The answer, the motivation to presenting yourself to God would be what? Do you see it there? It's the mercies of God. Now, when Paul shared this truth with us, he was sharing again that which he'd experienced in his life. Paul knew this already. He'd processed the whole thing. Let me just tell you, kind of catch up to where Paul was at. He knew that the mercies of God were the predecessors to the grace of God in his life. The mercy of God is the precursor to the grace of God. See, with the mercy of God, in God's mercy, he doesn't give us what we deserve. Paul knew that in his life. If God would have given me what I deserved back then, he would say, I wouldn't be here today. I mean, I should have been toast back then. There's no reason that God should have tolerated the wickedness, the stuff that was going on in my life back then. But he did in his mercy. In fact, it was his mercy and goodness that ultimately led me to repentance. It's God's mercy to us that he's never given up on us. And the times that we wanted nothing to do with God, that we were running the other way. It's the mercy of God that God never said, enough is enough. Because you can think of times in your life that if you were God, you would have said, enough is enough. That's it. Now, the grace of God that follows the mercy of God is when God does give us what we don't deserve. Forgiveness. Nobody here was forgiven by God because you deserved it. It was by grace, what Jesus went to the cross for and what God extends to us. The blessings of God in your life, God doesn't do the things he does, the good things he brings in your life because you deserve it. It's unmerited, undeserved. It is grace to you. Now, when you put those together, the Bible said, I urge you, based on the mercies of God, the word urge there, it's I reason with you. It's actually a word for logic. Isn't it reasonable, God says, based on all the mercy that God's extended to you in your life, the grace that's been able to come to you, that you would be willing to say yes to God today in whatever it is that he would have for you. Third notation, and this is kind of like a bonus one. I should have passed, you know, I'm adding to things, and, you know, I couldn't help myself right here, so I'll just put it in real quick. success. Success is based, or it requires both, living and thinking with regards to that which God asks us to do. Verse 2 goes on. We read Romans 12:1, but if we read verse 2, it would go on to say this: "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." In other words, don't get so pressured by the world that you're not going to be willing to say yes to God, but you want to be transformed, and that takes place from the inside out. You can live right, but if you're not thinking right, you won't live right long, or if you do, it will be very superficial. You'll live the Christian life on the outside, but your heart is going to be so disconnected from it. Truth of the matter is, our thinking, our believing, that which in our soul, which is taking place inwardly, mind, heart, soul, all of those, one, you know, synonymously, is what will impact in the greatest way our living that's going on. And we have to be looking at paying attention to both of those, because that's what Jesus did. It was about living, and it's about what our thinking and believing is too. Both of them are critical to success in our life. Now, here's the fourth observation. And this one has the highest practical impact on us. The other truth, fantastic. Number one, important. Number two, important. Number three, important. But number four, this is where the doing is transformational. And it's the today factor. I need to today offer my body. I need to today offer myself. I need to today say I will to God. Now, if you haven't yet, I encourage you, circle it, and then put some little arrows in that circle. You know, this, it's like this continue motion. Why is that? Because what the Bible is telling us right here is that this is not just a one-time deal that takes place. You know, I once received Jesus as my Savior. That's done, and I'll forever be a Christian until I get to heaven. And you were thinking, I once offered myself to God, and so that's done. You know, it's kind of like the guy that stood at the marriage altar, told his wife, I loved you. And he said, you know, if I ever change my mind, I'll tell you again. Right? I mean, one time, that's all I need. That's how we could think about this. I've offered myself to God. In other words, at some point, for those of you who'd said, I can remember a time that I said yes to God. God, whatever you want in my life, yes. And if you did, that's fantastic. Today, if you do it for the very first time, that'll be fantastic. But what you need to know is this is a present verb tense that's being used here, which means this: it's now and continual. It's this continual action that's going to need to be done. In other words, there is a fresh question that we are going to be posed with every single day for the rest of our lives. Any idea what that's going to be? Will you today say, I will to me? Will you today present yourself to me? Will you today say yes to me? If you are an active follower of Jesus right now, and I know we got many active followers of Jesus in here right now, there is a question that you need to answer today if you haven't answered it yet. And going like, oh, I said that last week, or I said that in the past. We've already learned that our I wills of the past, good as they may have been then, are not what will change our life today. There's a question that every active follower of Jesus is going to have to answer tomorrow. You know what that question is? I'm going to give you a hint. And again, one of the reasons of just putting something tactile in our hands, just a reminder of looking down and going, oh yeah, today, am I willing to present myself to God? That's where, again, you know, the elbow factor begins to play out in our lives. Why don't you take your Bible again, if you would, please. A verse that will walk hand in hand with Romans 12:1 is Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33. If you have a pew Bible, you can turn to page 1509. You'll see this. If you bought a pew Bible, it was a great deal, wasn't it? You can still get them if you want, $15. Nice thing is, when we put a page number up there, you can go right to it. Now, Matthew 6:33 is on the screen. We'll read it, but there's a reason it'll be important for you to turn in your Bible, which you'll see if you turn there. So let's read it together. Ready, everybody? But seek his kingdom And all these things will be given to you as well. Jesus said this. And in fact, he's teaching his greatest sermon Jesus ever taught. He's saying, but remember this, but seek first God's kingdom. What's he saying? If you will prioritize, if you will put God first in your life, all this stuff is going to work out. And there's a lot of stuff that's behind it that way. Matthew 6:33 is followed by Matthew 6:34. That's a huge, you know, I know, can you wrap your head around that? The verse that comes right afterwards says this, therefore. Oh, there's that word again, therefore. I mean, Jesus is making this transition. They go, so therefore, don't worry about tomorrow. Now, why would Jesus tell people to don't worry about tomorrow? Because they were? Yeah, they were worrying about tomorrow. And in with due cause, they had stuff to worry about. I mean, there was stuff that concerned them. And that was, you know, it's eating them up on the inside. It was stealing their joy from them. He goes like, hey, here's what you need to do. And if you do this, and you know, then this is going to take care of this. Don't fall prey to this worrying about tomorrow. How many remember we had an election last week? Some of you remember that still? Okay. For some of you, the election didn't come out entirely like you wanted it to. And because of that, the effect that it's had on you is, well, that's the end of America. You know, that's kiss that goodbye, right? You have all of these worries, well, what if this happens, or then this happens, and then this could happen, and this could happen, and you are very, very worried and concerned about what? Yeah, you're worried about the future, right? And Jesus says, there's a lot of stuff that you can legitimately worry about. There's a lot of things that could go wrong. There's a lot of bad things that could happen out there. You know what you need to do? Because you're not going to be able to change. You can't control some of this stuff in your life. But you know what you can do today? 33. But first, you put God first. Say, I will to what God has for me today. And if you'll do that today, it's going to help you to deal with this stuff of tomorrow that may or may not happen. And when today becomes tomorrow, and tomorrow is now today, think about that. What do you need to do today afresh? Present yourself, right? God, I'm going to say I will to you today in whatever it is that you ask of me to do. The lesson we learned 12 months ago, well, I will lesson, kind of the genesis of what was taking place, was this. We call it a maxim. I am one I will away from God's next working in my life. Many of us discovered that. Because we said I will, God began to do some, you know, some really interesting things. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But the lesson of this year that I want you to be looking at as we carry out, that other one doesn't go away, but the lesson I want you just to come to terms with, I hope in a deeper, more meaningful way today, is going to be this. We'll call it our I will maxim. And that is that God's blessing and God's working reside in I will. God's blessing, God, say that with me, would you? God's blessing, God's working, they reside in God's will. Now, that may sound a little bit clunky at first. You know, what does that mean? That you mean it's inside of I will that you find God's working and God's blessing? Yeah, that's pretty much it. Now, I know some people push back. It's like, so you're saying that if I don't say I will, then I'm not, you know, there's no blessing of God in my life. No, I'm not saying that. Because it's very true, and you know this. I'm just telling you what you already know. That God's blessing touches everybody. Jesus said it this way. He goes like, you know, God, well, he makes the rain fall on both the just and on the unjust. The good farmer, the bad farmer, they both have the blessing of rain that comes upon them. God doesn't just cut off the bad one and only rains on the good one. In a general sense, everybody that has life, you understand blessing, you know, goodnesses of God in your life. If you have been loved, that's a blessing. If you love, that's a blessing. You don't have to be a Christian. You don't have to be a follower of Jesus to have something to be thankful for this coming Thursday. In fact, a lot of some things to be thankful for this coming Thursday, do you? Now, those are all blessings from God. The Bible says every good gift, every perfect gift comes from above. from the Father of lights. You know, so it's like all this stuff comes from God. So there's a general sense. Yeah, everybody knows God's blessings or feels them. Same with God's workings in a general sense. You know, everybody, God's at work in their life. You know, helping them to realize who he is, drawing them to him, showing him his kindnesses, extending mercy to them, working in conscience in them. Yeah, that's true for everybody. But when we look at this, this I will that opens up God's working, that opens up God's blessing, it's at a whole new level. I mean, like, we are way beyond the general blessing, the generic blessing of God. That's an oxymoron, generic blessing of God. I mean, but you're at this unmistakable working of God in our lives. And that's what I think all of us long for. That's what all of us, you know, more than anything else, say, that's what I would want in my life. You never know quite where it's going to bring you, what it's going to do. And I think that, well, the next story, Robert and Amy's story, you know, they said, I will to God. What happened to them? I don't think you would expect what it is they're going to say, but by the time they get done saying it, you're just going to go, oh my goodness, is this ever true? Check it out.
So I'm Robert, and this is my wife, Amy. Throughout the years, we had sensed that God was putting something in our hearts, but it seemed too big, too costly, and too overwhelming for us. We had discussed from occasionally becoming a foster family or adopting, each kind of feeling we had a little bit more love to give and room in our family to make that happen. We prayed about it from time to time, and it kind of always seemed a bit out of reach, a little bit impossible, I guess, looking at it from human perspective.
I remember thinking immediately about adopting, and Pastor Guy, in one of the messages in the I Will series, asked the congregation, what is our answer if God asks us something to do? What would we say? Do we say, I will? Do we say, I would if I could? Do we say, I might? Do we say, I don't know? Because all of those things, except for I will, are pretty much just saying no. And so I began thinking, gosh, are you asking me, God, to adopt a child? And is my answer, I would if I could? Because it seemed really overwhelming to us. And so we began to pray that God would make it clear for us. A few weeks later, we sat at a Stephen Curtis Chapman concert, who is a favorite of mine, and he shared a story about adopting, and he's adopted three children from China, and China had been on my heart for a few years. While we were listening to his story with tears in our eyes and wearing our I Will dog tags, we looked at each other and knew that this had been something God's been asking us to do, and for some time, and we were finally at the point of listening and believing that if he is asking this of us, that he'll carry us through it. And so we went home that night excited and shared with our biological children who had in the past asked us, why can't we adopt a child from China? Why can't we adopt a little girl or a little boy? And we would always say, oh, I don't know if God has that for us. Or, oh, I don't know. We're kind of old for that. And, you know, and we just assumed they'd be excited. And one of them was, and the other one was like, nah, I like our family the way it is. And so we just talked about it and agreed as a family that we would pray and ask God to change our hearts to be a family that says, I will, and believed that he would do that if that's really what he wanted us to do.
We have seen God undeniably provide above and beyond what we could have imagined for in this adoption so far. In the 15 years that we've been married, we've never really trusted him the way we have this past year. We've always believed in him and had a relationship with him. But this year, we learned to believe him and rely on him to carry us in ways like never before. We've been able to share this with our children and others and pray that living through this journey of saying we will to what God has asked us will not just impact them, our kids, now, but for their entire life. Some say that the way God has provided for us to be able to move to adopt first and foremost, move to a new home that has space for another child or children, is nothing short of miracles. But God promises to provide for us in his word. He promises to guide us. He says in Isaiah that he'll carry us even until our hair is gray and throughout our life. Those are promises of God. I'm not sure it's a miracle, but it's providence.
The real miracle in our story, though, is how he's changed our hearts, how he's changed the heart of our children, how he's guided us to move outside our comfort zone and go from having two teenagers to teenagers and a toddler who may or may not have special needs that we've never even experienced with any child, and how he's using our story to impact people and impact others is miraculous to me. And we hope to bring our daughter Grace home from China next summer. Our paperwork is ready. We just got immigration approval today. And so our paper will go to China in the next few weeks. And then we'll just wait for her. And then we'll wait to go bring her home. But our story isn't even nearly over. The best is definitely yet to come. And we're one eye will away from God's next working in our family.
That's a cool story, isn't it? I think Amy and Robert are here, aren't you? Would you guys just stand up, wave at me if you're somewhere? Right back there, all the way back there. Give them a shout out and back there, guys. And they're going to be hanging out in the coffee shop afterwards if you just want to encourage them or talk to them about that. If you want the seven-hour version of the story, that's Amy's short version of it. She'll be happy to, you know, kind of give you that one as well. One I will, and you're like, what is happening here? And the potential, I think they'll tell you. It is really exciting and really kind of scary all at the same time. So how do you do it? Somebody ask you, how do I present myself to God as a living sacrifice? How do I seek first the kingdom of God? Because it really sounds like, you know, it's really spiritual stuff, right? It's real ethereal. It's like we're super Christians, right? The way we do it is we daily say, I will. We daily say, yes, God, to whatever it is that you're clearly asking, directing me to do. Yes, Jesus, I'll follow you today. Yes, Holy Spirit, I will obey your promptings today. And when we're there, we've got the I know how. I think really the bigger issue that most of us are going to wrestle with right now, it's not knowing what I need to do, but I'll call it the elbow question. It's not I will anymore, but if you reverse those two words, it's will I. Yeah, I know I've got grace that's come in, but will I today present myself? Will I today seek first God's kingdom? And based on how you answer that question determines whether you have this or simply this that is producing or has brought about a stagnancy that's come about in our lives that way. When we say, God, I do want to present myself, or yes to you, mark it down. God is going to bring to us doors of opportunity. He'll do that personally. He'll do that as church. We know that's the case. You know, kind of, as I said earlier, you know, one of the genesis of I will was we saw all this potential out in front of us, the opportunity of today, the opportunity of tomorrow, and we said, will you join us in chasing this financially, participatory, you know, and we said, yeah, we'll do that, and we've seen so much occur, but individually, here's what I know. I know that if I say I will today, and when tomorrow becomes today, I say I will then, that there will be a door of opportunity before me of today. And I know that there are going to be more doors that way. I mean, I'm saying that as Guy. I mean, I just know that's what God will do in my life, but I also know that's what he's going to do in your life too. We're all going to have these opportunities that only I will open to us or bring about in our lives, which is cool, right? Which is why Jesus said, but let me give you this warning. And Jesus was always very, very clear, didn't no bait and switch with him. He goes like, if you say I will to God, I want you to realize this. Not only will I will produce doors of opportunity, but I wills are going to cost you. You can put it this way. When I say I will to God, when I say yes to God, it will usually cost me. Matter of fact, change usually up there to almost always. 99.9, you can put that, you know, it's going to cost me. If I say yes to God, God says, well, then I want you to give. Well, that's going to cost, that costs me money. That's money I don't have to, you know, to spend on what I want to spend it on. Or I'm saying I yes to God, and I get involved in helping or serving. I mean, you know, that's my time. And for some of us, we've said time is even more important than money. Hey, if I can just give money and not have to do anything, hey, I'm good with that. God says, no, I want you to do something too. Sometimes it's control, you know, career direction, career decisions, making decisions that would affect our career. Like, I don't want to just say yes to God in case he's got something in mind for me that I don't have in mind for me. Sometimes it's no to self. None of us like to say no to self. We like to say yes to self, right? Yeah, hopefully I want to say yes to the things I want. But you have to say no to something I want because God's asked me something else. Like, And sometimes it's just sacrifice. So Jesus said, mark it down. If you say I will, it's going to cost you something. You're in high school, it's going to cost you something. You're in college, it's going to cost you. You're an adult, it's going to cost you. But here's what he said in addition to that. Luke chapter 9. His words to us, but whoever wants to save their life will lose it. If you think you're going to be better off not saying yes to God than saying yes to him, it goes like, this is probably what's going to happen. In fact, mark it down, this is what's going to happen. But he said then, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. He goes, this is a paradox. You want to save your life? You lose it. You want to lose your life? You save it? Like, whoa. Now, for those of you who have already put your handout sheet away because all the blanks are filled out, big mistake. I can't believe you do that. Because you're going to miss the most important part of what you wanted to write down today, which is this. Here's what Jesus said. Yeah, it'll cost you, but I think here's what you're going to discover, this save-lose factor. He goes, when it comes to money, yeah, when you give, it costs you something. You don't have that to spend on yourself. But you know what? You end up finding that in giving, all of a sudden you've got a freedom that you never had before. You have the ability to enjoy that you never had before. In fact, the materialism yoke is being broken off of you. With your time, yeah, it's true. I mean, you've got time here spent that you can't spend on yourself, but you have a fulfillment in your life that wasn't there before. Matter of fact, you've got purpose that's there. Control, that's true. You gave up control and you said yes to God. And what you ended up with was God's direction in your life, God's help in your life. You did say no to self, and when you did so, you actually discovered what it meant to become an active follower of Jesus. Sacrifice, God said, I will always bring back with reward in your life. And he said, not just in eternity, but in your life. I mean, not just in your life, in eternity as well. So today we come back to that. Well, what am I going to do with this today? One of the things that, again, I hope will be a reminder to you with your I will tag, I mean, it's just that, will I today say I will to God? I mean, the purpose of this, you don't take it out in the morning and go, you know, that's not what it's for, okay? You know, especially if it's in your pocket and other places like that. I mean, it's only a reminder of an opportunity that God says, today will you present yourself to me? And that's what I want to put in front of us now. Today, will you present yourself? I know you may have done it in the past, but that's the past. You may have never done it. Well, it's exciting. If you never received Jesus, today you may say, I will say yes. Not just receiving Jesus my Savior, but saying yes to being a follower of Jesus as well. As I pray, I'm going to encourage you, start the prayer with me, but then I'm going to pause, and any connection God's making with your yes, you know, yes to God or I will to God, and what he then says, and this is what we're talking about today here for you, you make that connection. You make that prayer, because really that's what's going to make a difference. Just as tomorrow, when I'm not here leading you in prayer, when you make your prayer, that's what's going to be that elbow of vertical grace to horizontal grace in your life. Let's pray together. Thank you for your mercies, Father. Thank you for your grace. We all have the opportunity, we all have the choice, whether we want to say yes to you or not. And you're not going to make us, and you're not going to beat us up. You're not going to punish us if it doesn't go the way you want to, because you said that's not what love is. So love gives us this choice. Today will I present myself to God. Today will I say yes to God, to whatever it is you're asking me. That's our choice. I want to say yes. If you want to say yes, say yes. And then realize what it is that God's immediately bringing to you. That he says, this is what we're talking about. For those, Lord Jesus, that for the first time are coming to you and saying, I need you as my Savior. I need forgiveness. I need what you did on the cross, your resurrection. And I so want a living relationship with God. I come to you for that, Jesus. Then you tell him in your own words, and that's exactly what he'll do. Thank you for all that will take place, Father, because of the responses made to you today. We pray in your name, Lord. And everybody in agreement said, amen.